Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. We got two on this Thursday, December 14th. Stanford Steve and Chris Felica taped one of their bowl podcasts, so go check that out as well. But I am Doug Kazarian alongside Ben Fox as we dive into the little NFL and discuss a little of everything else going on in the sports betting world, Ben.
Yeah, it's that time of year, you know, the happiest time of year, all the holidays, and bowl season. Bowl season starting on Saturday. Todd McShay had his first mock draft
yesterday. I saw that. You know, it's going to get really polarizing in a good way, because as I've done College Game Day Radio, we get a lot of opinions. Trevor Maddich, my co-host every week, he thinks Mason Rudolph is the best QB, and he thinks Darnold's a little bit of a bust. He didn't say the Tebow sort of loop in his motion, but he definitely thinks there's some reason for cause for concern there with Sam Darnold.
Yep, and I would say that Darnold is more likely than people think to go back as well. So he's not necessarily
in the
draft. For everyone who does know, underclassmen have, I believe, until, let's say, January 13th or 15th, somewhere in there to declare. So this is the first mock draft we do where we don't actually know who is in the draft, which also makes it difficult.
Right. Do you think Lamar Jackson's going to come back?
I think Lamar Jackson will go. I think it's a question of where he goes and whether he's a QB.
So there's a lot of questions, but I was like, well, why, if he wants to become a quarterback in the NFL, shouldn't he develop one more year?
He might, or he could go the kind of Braxton Miller route, which is, no, you're not going to be a QB, and try and develop for a year in college at a different position that you will be in the NFL.
Ooh,
as well.
That would be crazy, because he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yep, yep.
And going back to David Pollack was on the show 2 weeks ago, and he said he would take Baker Mayfield as the best quarterback for an NFL team, not just the Heisman Trophy winner. So I think it's a wide range, because I think Mayfield's a quarter. I think Mayfield will be the QB in the NFL that people wanted Johnny Manziel to be. So obviously has that sort of moxie that everyone loves, but it's harnessed, and I think he's a much better passer.
Yeah, he's kind of the wild card. I believe McShay, I believe, said he was the highest riser in terms of any prospect. I think he had him as his ninth-rated quarterback coming into the season, Baker Mayfield. And now it's kind of Rosen and Darnold on the first tier, Josh Allen, who's also a big unknown on his own tier.
Fifth, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. There's so many QBs. You got to love.
Four QBs in the first round. Obviously, everyone check it out on Insider. It's up now. That was a lot of my day yesterday.
Okay, so you're busy that. You're also, like you said, it's tis the season, the bowl season.
Bowl season. So we have our big bowl betting guide for all alliteration fans out there coming out today on Insider. Phil Steele will write on every single bowl. And then we have Stanford Steve and Felica writing on the bowls they like.
Red hot.
Only the ones. I know they've complained a lot about the common games on their podcast. You know, I've taken a lot of gruff.
Well, I understand their stance, and I'm sure we can all sympathize, because, a win is so hard to get in and of itself. And when you're like having to pick games, you don't. This is why I hate, like the Westgate Super Contest, which is awesome. But you have to do five every week. Some weeks you love cards more. Like, as a bettor, you don't bet the same amount every week on every game, right?
Yep. And to their credit, their record on their wild card games or the games they pick is better than the main ones. But again, when we're doing a betting column and, it's Alabama against Auburn, we're going to want to know what your opinion is on the game. So that's the other big file also working on today.
That is funny. Yeah. This racket is very difficult. By the way, it's also the season of the fantasy playoffs. So one of my leagues, by the way, in the ESPN Anchor League, I'm terrible. I was like 0-14 to start, something like 0-12. I had like the fourth fewest points. So it was just like bad scheduling.
That's why you're the gambling expert.
Yeah. So yeah. L. Duncan and I went like head to head. They're like talking about it like a few weeks ago. It was like 0-11 against 0-11. It was pretty funny. So I'm in the fantasy. We gotta talk to Matthew Berry or something, because I'm going against the Jaguars team defense in my matchup, and the projected point total for the Jags is 15.4. Phillip Rivers is 16.4, and that's the highest guy. Like, what the Jags guarantee? What are they guaranteeing a Jags pick six?
I guess. I mean, it is still part of my group. Barry actually still owes me dinner for that Redskins-Vikings game. So, maybe I'll toss in a little free advice
for you as well.
Yeah.
What else you got going on?
So we got another piece from yours truly here on the Golden State Warriors publishing tomorrow.
It was a long time coming. I appreciate your patience with that. So it was a lot of fun to write. And I think one thing I've been trying to hammer home, whether it be trying to convince you of a story or just talking about it on SportsCenter, we, as people who've covered this industry forever, I think become desensitized to stuff that we just know that the outside world does not. And I think I really hit home when I was one of the researchers helped me with something, and I had him watch, he read the piece. I was like, hey, it's a rough draft. Take a look. And I watched him read it, and he, like, went crazy over, like, the Twitter, like, stuff.
Right.
The fact that bookmakers have guys monitoring Twitter of beat writers or whatever, just how important that is for – because you – because anytime money's involved in stuff, people are interested. It's like – you know, Darren Revelle does a fantastic job. Like that survivor pool that got busted.
Yeah,
I mean, with millions. I mean, just millions grabs your attention. And so, like, just the – so when I talked to some guys like Jeff Sherman I interviewed, and half of the interview was like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. And then the other – like, then he lets it slip. It's like, yeah, it's annoying. We have to do this and this. But, like, the not that big of a deal, I think what they don't realize is while they think it's business as usual and what their normal – day-to-day stuff entails, which is true. Like, we all have stuff that we do every day that we've become desensitized to. I think what they don't understand is how interesting that is, I think, to the people who are maybe sports fans but not necessarily gambling gurus or understanding the market. So a lot of that stuff is what I try to share and take people behind the curtain, because the process of stuff really interests me, whether it be the better, the odds maker, and also just the dark humor in me. Like, I like people just, like, you know, being annoyed and frustrated and, like, so anyway, the whole piece is about...
Should I get on the couch here?
I just love the dark humor stuff and just various things. But in general, I like laughing at the Browns, like, not covering. Like, that stuff cracks me up.
And so for the listeners, the basic summary of the piece is just, with everything that's gone on this NBA season, kind of why the Warriors are confounding for both bettors and bookmakers alike. They're resting star players. They cover the spread. Sometimes they're trying. Sometimes they don't. They have high in-game variance. They're a team that can come back. I believe you had in there they came back from two 20-plus point deficits at halftime.
And one of them, they covered a double-digit spread.
Yep.
So I think it was the Pelicans game. I think they're laying 9.5 or 10. They won by 12, I think. So just that's the thing. In life, we like consistency, right? Bosses like consistency from their people they supervise, your spouse, whatever, your buddies. You just like to know what you're getting. And they're one of the most inconsistent things. On top of that, is that they're so interesting and they're so popular. So, yeah, like the Jazz might be have the most variance of their points, but they're not, like, no one cares about the Jazz. And the reason it's so intriguing is because what it entails to book these games. So you have to set the opening line, but they have all these guys listed as probable and questionable, and you don't know the combination. I mean, look, they're laying 12 tonight against the Mavericks because Draymond Green is doubtful. Curry's out. Like, I don't know. Like, should it be 14? Should it be 15? So they're very loose with that line. So if some guy bets one side or the other, they're going to move it. And it's so random. The NBA has so many possessions. So some of this is just inherent in NBA odds making and betting. But it's even more pronounced with the Warriors because they can just light it up. And they're the best third quarter team, too. Like, the scoring differential in the third quarter, they're by far the best team. But a lot of that is accounted when they're trailing at halftime. So it's really hard just to figure them out and get a feel. And the odds makers have done a nice job. They're a couple games under 500 against the spread. But just how much of a headache they're causing. I think that's what – and maybe I'm enjoying it more because I'm on the phone with, like, John Murray, who, you know, he's just like, yeah, they're going to have three guys listed as questionable. We got to figure it out. And some guy with his tweet deck open is going to beat me to it.
Yep.
But it is what it is. Like, that stuff makes me laugh.
Yeah, and I would say, in addition to making you laugh, I think the tweet deck especially highlights how difficult it is, both as a sharp and as a bookmaker. Like, the guys who are doing it professionally, you're monitoring every single sport and all the beat writers and all this to get a slight advantage, because then you have some information the bookmakers don't have for a split second or a couple minutes. That's when you can put in a bet, potentially.
Right, and it's millions of dollars here. I mean, this is global. So I interviewed a guy at a bookmaker offshore, and they set the opening line. So it's not just the Vegas guy here and there where it's a few, you know, limit bets. And one professional bettor who does a lot of like arbitraging, and he understands the value of a point or two. He's just like, he hates the Warriors because he'll have like a split or whatever, a middle, and the like Warriors will go on like 10-0 runs in the last 3 minutes of a blowout. Like, they just screw up everything. And both ways, because you can't put the line too high. Then if they're the, oh, they're so apathetic, they don't care, they're resting guys. All right, we'll take the underdog. Well, I can't do that because they'll blow you out in the second half just like that. So that's just the whole, the nuances behind the scenes is what this focuses on.
Yeah. It'll be a great piece. I look forward to editing it this afternoon.
I'm excited. No, I'm excited for that. I mean, you definitely steered me with how to lead the piece, so I was really psyched about that. And Zach Lowe, I ran into him yesterday at the talent meeting, and Zach and I go, we actually go way back. We just didn't know that at the time. We played against each other in water polo like 20 years ago.
Wow.
Who won? His team did. They were loaded. Greenwich High School. His dad's a legendary coach, has since retired, legendary swim coach and water polo coach in the area. And you know, as a California guy, I always say, oh, West Coast polo. But they were the one team in the Northeast that was actually like a West Coast team.
Greenwich. Yeah.
So they were loaded. But so anyway, so we were just chatting, catching up what's going on. So he was very interested in this. So I'm actually going on this podcast tomorrow. So I'm psyched for that.
Beautiful. On a side note, I thought yesterday was awesome to see everyone there. It was very much like a, I don't want to say first day of school or something. Maybe it was the last day of school atmosphere, but just having, you know, it was miserable in Bristol. It was snowy.
It was the coldest day of 2000 or this season, at least.
Yeah, and we had, you know, all the talent here. Everyone was in line from the different sports. It was very, very cool to have everyone.
Yeah,
here.
You know, look, there's a lot of stuff written out there, and some of it's like playful, and some of it's accurate, some of it's not. And look, when you're behemoth like ESPN is, and the news today announced as well that we're going to get even bigger. It's fun to come at us and it's a punching bag, but there's like so many talented people here. And Ben, you know, we work with a lot in our day-to-day work, and there's obviously people we don't work with that are super talented as well. It's a lot of fun. And when you get them all together and it's not, you know, downtime, so to speak, during you're just hanging out and hors d'oeuvres or whatever, you just, you know, coffee break. And it's really cool. Like you look back and it kind of reminds you of the relationships you've forged over. I've been here 5.5 years. You've been here how long?
7.
Yeah. I mean, just think about all the interaction, the randomness, and it's just really cool because a lot of these people are awesome people in addition to being really talented. So it is fun to get everyone together, and that was part of it. So we had a big talent, you know, gathering here in Bristol. A lot of people flew from all over just to stop in. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a smaller gathering at the DoubleTree Hotel later last night as well.
Look at you. So we're gonna get into the NFL card like we always do. John Murray, our Westgate buddy, is traveling, so we're going to go old school with Jimmy Vaccaro, a Vegas legend.
I'm excited. Jimmy's great. He's great.
Jimmy is the man, and he's quoted in the Warriors piece, and he's just one of a kind. He's, by the way, some who don't know, Sonny Vaccaro is his brother, and Sonny Vaccaro of apparel fame, and he's just got a billion stories, so we'll get to him in a moment, and then we'll wrap up the pod. By the way, how did you do against the spread this week?
Pretty well, actually. I think I was 10-6.
No, your pick for us. The roulette game.
Not in everything else. No. I had
not
Seattle.
Pick 'em.
So not as
I lost. John won. He had the Chiefs. I took the over, and I got 4 field goals in the first half instead of touchdowns, and I could have used a few of those points to get over, but went under. It happens. Time now to go out to Las Vegas and bring in the inimitable Jimmy Vaccaro, Vegas legend of about 4 decades plus. Jimmy, awesome to talk to you here on the podcast.
It's always my pleasure, young man. And I know you guys are in a little colder weather vein than I'm in. But, you know, growing up in the East, I understand fully what you're going through, my man.
Yeah, we had a little flurry this morning, and I woke up with a little dusting, right, Ben?
Yeah, it's usually how I introduce Doug, too, young man. He appreciates that.
Yes, I do. So, Jimmy, well, you mentioned it. I want to get into stuff going on right now, but where did you grow up? What's your background?
I grew up in a little town called Trafford, Pennsylvania, which is about 22 miles east of Pittsburgh. And growing up in the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of activity in basically what I'm doing now, but that was way back when. So I do have a lot of cousins still back there, and they surely are avid Steeler fans. But I grew up there, and I had a good time and try to go back as often as I can, but it's getting tougher the older I get.
So what was your first foray or exposure into the numbers game? Obviously, the point spreads have changed over the years, but like when your exposure at what age and how did you know that you were intrigued by it all?
It was more or less just a fascination. Shirley was the youngest of the whole crew running around there. My brother Sonny, he liked the bed as a youngster too, and Sonny being 6 years older than me, I used to tag along at 11 and 12 and 13. I understood the point spread, didn't know that much about betting it, but again, living in that atmosphere back there, the pool rooms were there, everybody bet numbers every day, which is now called the lottery, and so I just got connected to it. And as a middle-aged kid, when I say middle-aged, I had to drive out here in 1964 to see what Las Vegas was all about. I was truly intrigued. From that particular point, about 10 years later, I moved permanently, and it's been a blessing. I understand it. I knew a little bit about it, but I wanted to be on the inside looking out to see exactly what's going on here in Las Vegas, and fortunately, it worked out. You remember, Doug, when I first came here, there weren't any hotels that had sports books in them. Just the Independence, the old Harry Gordon Churchill Downs, and the Santa Anita and the Rose Bowl, places like that. I got hooked up with Michael Gaughan at an early age and opened up his first sports book at the Royal Inn Casino. Then naturally, it all fell into place. He went to the Barbary Coast and then the MGM and then the Mirage. So here I'm back with Michael Gaughan. It's been a great fairy tale, but still a lot of energy left at 72, kid. I'm ready to go.
Well, Jimmy, speaking of hopefully not fairy tales, since you've been there for so long, obviously legalization of sports betting is in the news, and I was down there in D.C. with David Pertum at the Supreme Court. I'm sure you're reading all about it. It always seems to be a, you know, 5 to 10 years. It seems like we're now in the 1 to 5 years. But how do you kind of view that, I guess? When do you think it'll happen? And then why do you think it's good or bad for Vegas?
Well, first of all, you're right on track there. It's always been that case. I'm thinking back 30 years when we start railing on, you know, why shouldn't we be able to do this? But remember, way back when, in the late 70s and early 80s, the sports books out here weren't too reluctant to let other people book their bets. In other words, we had a monopoly on it. So at that time, we in Vegas didn't really want them involved. But that was way back when. Now with the technology and that with the atmosphere that people love to bet, it's a completely different story. So I would say now this is the cycle that it must happen. If it doesn't, we won't see it in anybody's lifetime. Now, I was at a couple of those conference gaming association meetings over the past couple of years. They seem to be ready. They seem to understand it. And I suppose getting to the Supreme Court was the biggest step ever, but we're not there yet. A lot of people were just saying, you know, here we go, let's start writing tickets. Well, that's not going to be the case as far as I'm concerned. There's so much to do with regulating a sportsbook anymore. There's so much to do to indoctrinate people, and there's so much to do to get a crew together if you open up in these other states. But we'll see what happens. I know that the big boys out here in Las Vegas, it's more of a wait and see. They're not going to jump in immediately. They're going to see what the climate is, and we're going to be prepared, but we'll see what happens probably starting in June or July.
Jimmy, as you can take a step back away from everything and just assess how sports betting, whether it be the knowledge of the bettor, the prevalence, not just on the back page of a sports page and maybe Danny Sheridan line here and there, but now it's in news columns, it's relevant news that we have on SportsCenter and what we call topic bars, the graphics on the screen. Just what do you make of it all, having lived through it all from inside of Las Vegas?
I'm fascinated. I truly am, even at this tender age that I keep bringing up. I surely was there when the turn came, when people started to get interested in, and the hotels started interested in booking sports. It's been there, and the analogy I always use, and here's a good one for you, Doug. The 1979 Super Bowl, we call Black Sunday, where, you know, we got carried out pretty good there. But here's the amazing thing about it, which I keep bringing up, and one of the reasons we, you know, got our brains kicked in that day. Remember, there was only a few ways to make the bet on the game. You either had Dallas or you had Pittsburgh in an over and under, and you might have had a halftime bet on it. There was only three or four different ways to make a wager on the Super Bowl. Now, as everybody in the universe knows, we have between 250 to 300 different ways of making bets. So if you spread the money out a little bit different, we'd have probably lost in 1979, but it would have been, you know, catastrophic because there were so many more things to do. And also remember, we were handwriting these tickets. That's an impossibility in today's world because there's so much to do, and you have to do it so fast. So from where we were to handwriting tickets to where it is, and I give Caesars Palace a lot of credit, and I'll tell you why. I think it was I don't know exactly, 81, 82, maybe a little later. They had the first what I would consider the big Super Bowl party, where they invited retired NFL players. And it was an absolute smash. I mean, I can remember it because it resonated around the industry. Like, wow, we can utilize something like this that people like to do. So I give them a lot of credit for first doing it. And here we go again. The big, big kick in the butt for us was when William Refrigerator Perry crossed the goal line in 1985, which made super headlines everywhere in the universe. We got carried out pretty good on that. But at that particular time, Doug and Ben, we got phone calls from everybody in the country saying, hey, we heard what happened. How did it happen? So as we explained that, now what happened is like now all the newspapers kept calling us every time an event would come up and say, do you guys have anything new like the Super Bowl win with Perry crossing the goal line? And it spurred us to be more creative. It spurred us to be a part of it. And make no mistake about it, when the general public got involved, it was a new ball game. Now we're up to phone apps. Now we're up to more women ever to come to the sportsbook and make bets. So it is a different ball game. I welcome it. I consider myself, you know, I still have the old in me, but I'm not silly enough to discard the new because you have to bridge the gap somewhere. And I think I did a pretty good job with that, my friend.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on some great things, Jimmy, and I think you've done a great job. So that Super Bowl refrigerator Perry, the prop bet, because you are one of the godfathers of proposition betting. And so what did it open as and everyone to bet it? And you talked about the publicity you got. So while you guys took a beating on the dollars, you actually gained that and more on the publicity and the notoriety and the PR. But just what were the numbers there? And then what were the conversations? I mean, it probably opened your eyes at saying, gosh, people love to bet the yes on something and take long shots.
It's still the case now, my friend. And
right.
I remember, like it was yesterday, Art Menteris, a good friend of mine, Art now runs a station casino. He was at Caesars Palace at the time. I think Art took the crown that day. I think he lost the most. Friends of mine at the Barbary Coast got carried out. I was at the MGM that day that it happened, and I escaped pretty good. I only lost like $48,000, if you call that an escape, but it resonated around the city. But you could get William around at least 50 to 1. Some places had it 75 or 100 to 1. Like I said, I outsmarted everybody. I only lost 48,000. But what it did after that point was truly, truly magnificent. As what you say, Doug, it surely paid a million times more with publicity than we ever could have received if he wouldn't have crossed the goal line in that game.
I think it closed like 2-1 or something, right?
Some silly price. It was down really, really low. But, you know, that's the way it is anymore. If you put up anything with a relatively big price, what happens when you call a newbie, come to the counter and say, geez, you know, I want to bet on such and such. And they say, well, if you bet $100, you're going to win $10 because you're laying 10-1. And they get all say, what do you mean I'm putting up $100 and only win 10? Then they say, well, if you put up $10, you can win $90. They say, well, give me that bet because they want to look to have some fun. They want to bet some props and they want to sit and root for something that's an underdog. So basically about 75% of the tickets on these big, big underdogs, you know, will there be overtimes? Will there be this? Will there be that? Are all on the people betting short money, but having a great time and filling up your sports book.
I just would have liked to be in those meetings, Jimmy, you know, a couple days after where you got, you know, you took a bath on the prop, but then you're going, you're trying to explain the higher ups. No, the publicity. It was so worth it. The publicity is what we were trying to do the whole time. I can imagine this being a fun couple days.
Well, you're right, Ben. But you know what? They learned almost immediately also. I remember at the MGM, originally the MGM, which is now Bally's, it was March Madness. And at that time, it was good action, but nothing like, you know, it is today. But I remember a lot of people coming to the counter and asking for me when they're on their way home and said, Jimmy, can we book a room for next year? We're having so much fun with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I alerted our marketing department, not that I'm a genius, but then I just started to send people. I said, you know, call this number. And within 2 years after that, as you can see, where we went with March Madness, that's my best time of the year. I enjoy the 4 days. But to answer your question, Ben, yes. We turned it over to marketing. The hotel said, wow, here's an event. We can have people coming to our racing sportsbook and spending 4 days here, and we really don't have to push it because the people are pushing to be a part of it. So that surely has anchored a huge weekend in March.
And now you have a radio network in your own sportsbook, and you've partnered with Brent Musburger, obviously a big name, former colleague here at ESPN and ABC. Just what's that been like, knowing that there is that much of a demand for something, and that, you know, speaks to the growth we just discussed.
Oh, you're right, Doug. And actually, the magnet is Brent. I mean, it's incredible. I'm not sure you guys know as well as I do. He's so accessible, and people love to come around him, take their pictures, tell their stories, whatever. I go back with Brent around, at least 25 years ago. And naturally, he had always this little hankering of, you know, understanding the gambling side of it. So I remember he'd come into the garage once or twice a year, and I'd introduce him to people. So we had lunch one day with what I would consider probably one of the smartest NBA bettors that ever made you a bet. So we're having lunch, me, him, and I brought Brent with me. And so one of the guys, cohorts who would go around making some of the bets for the guy, actually stopped in, and he handed Chuck a bunch of these tickets and whatever. And I knew Chuck very well, so I could say this in front of Brent. I said, Chuck, tell Brent what you got there. So he showed Brent about three or four tickets, and all Chuck says, geez, all I'd like to do is get rid of my $30,000 a game, you know, early in the morning so I can play golf in the afternoon. And Brent almost choked on the soup. He said, what? He said, I said, Brent, if Chuck gets $30,000 a game on his six or seven plays during the day, and Brent said, $30,000 what? I said, $30,000. So he loved it. He got to make friends. He came back. And then a few years ago when we started talking about it, and Brent said sent his nephew out, and Brian, and here we are today. It's a great show. I enjoy doing it and having a lot of fun. And, you know, let's call it like it is. It's everywhere. It's ESPN, it's Fox, it's this, it's that. Everybody is enjoying sports betting, and we're having some fun with it. And me, as the old-timer, I really want to see this thing get legalized to show the people who think we wear a dark cloud over our head. We are as regulated as any industry in the world. And as you know, Doug, because you've been here, it's a lot of fun, too.
It is a lot of fun. That's what I tried to explain to people when I worked out there. You know, in addition to a daily radio show, like literally on my local sports cast, I got to do a bad beat and like talk about it. And then I gave out a pick a night on the show. I mean, it's insane that I was doing that about 10 years ago, giving out a pick on my local sports cast. It's hilarious.
It's a lot of fun. And actually, talking about bad beats, if you'd had those two overtime games on Sunday, you know, you would have understood what bad beats were. You know, let me throw this out there before we run out of time. And I've been asked this a lot. And Jimmy, what is the big difference between then and it is now, and why do people are attracted to it? I said, well, you know, you go to a movie, you take your wife or your kids or your girlfriend or whatever, and you watch the movie, and after the movie is done, you know the ending of the movie. So if you go back 10 times, it's still the same ending of a movie. Every week it's a different script with the ending of a football or a basketball game. I mean, what you saw last Sunday was incredible. That's the entertainment value. You don't know what the hell is going to happen. And if you say you do, you're a smarter man than anybody I've ever met. So the value there is like, let's see what happens now, because we have never, ever seen this before. But, you know, that's what makes it so intriguing as far as I'm concerned.
I think, except if you're betting on the Browns every week, then it seems like we know the results somehow.
Well, that's a shame. You know, if you're a Brown follower, one of the kids, one of our supervisors at the South Point is a diehard Brown fan, and every time they kick off, and it was 21-7, I said, Lou, how do you feel? He said, well, we're going to lose, and they did, you know, but that's their Brown faithful. They love it. He used to be a dog pound guy, but they are true faithful. I can't get it, but they surely follow their team right to the end of the line.
And they don't cover. That's what's amazing. I mean, never. People, you figure they're going to lose, but, you know, it was at 3.5. You're all right. They probably got the cover. I've never seen a team, maybe the Jaguars last season, who just blow covers. I believe they're 3-10 against the spread this season, which is really hard when you're getting a touchdown more per game.
Well, naturally, the first thing I saw, because I'm there, and a lot of people come talk to me before, during, and after the game, and actually, I always get this, here was a Browns guy showing me his ticket, naturally, Jimmy, can you see this? Then he points up at this guy and says, why me, what did I ever do to you? But you know what, he comes back the next week, and he takes the 10, and they lose again by 13. What can I tell you, kid?
Yeah.
So Jimmy, some things don't change, like bad beats, but some things do, and I see you. Look at you, Mr. 2017, with a Twitter handle, and you're all over Twitter with nearly 22,000 followers. And what's that been like for you?
I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. I get people calling back to Jimmy or texting back. Can you use a comma? Can you use a? I don't know how to do that. Sally Gaughan is our. She's the one that set me up with it. I can type a little bit. I didn't do it for a long time, but you know what? I enjoy doing it now. I enjoy talking to people. But as far as like me being, again, the girls and the kids at the front, supervisors, they laugh at me every day because I still got a flip phone. I'm talking to you on the flip phone. They all want to take me to Verizon and get a new phone. I won't go. I live in the 50s and 60s. I'm not changing. But the twisting thing, I'm having a lot of fun, my friend.
All right. Awesome. Well, you are old school, and we appreciate that. But like you touched on, you're absolutely right. You have evolved where you needed to, and you're on the cutting edge in a lot of regards. So speaking of that, we're going to pick your brain about this week's NFL card in just a moment when we return on the Behind the Bets podcast. All right, back on the Behind the Bets podcast, Jimmy Vaccaro, Vegas veteran, Las Vegas bookmaker for over four decades here. Now, Jimmy, we are winding down the NFL season. Before we get into each specific game, anything that you keep in mind as an odds maker where we are in the calendar? Some teams already clinching, going for division crowns. Other teams maybe focusing on the draft with maybe backup quarterbacks. Anything you kind of keep in mind, a rule of thumb approaching this late card?
Well, what I first look at always is the schedule because, make no mistake about it, marquee teams draw more attention from the general public. So you like to have them playing every weekend. You don't like to see Aaron Rodgers go down because it does take away some of the luster when you come to these games. But I would only say you watch a little bit closer. You really start watching closer next week, Doug, when some of the teams are out of contention. And after the 10 o'clock game start in the morning, does it really affect what the 5 o'clock game means? In other words, if someone wins early or loses early, it just changes the way that the 5 o'clock team may play because now you may have that home field already wrapped up or he may need this game. So you watch a little bit closer, but other than that, you just book regular.
Makes sense. So here we are, week 15, and we have a Thursday night game, Denver, a short favorite at Indianapolis.
Yeah, we won't draw much of attention for the obvious reason that both teams have gone south the entire year, especially the Denver Broncos. We opened the game 2 and the total of 41, and my friend, hasn't moved one way or the other. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have any action on it, but there's nothing really drastic to make you go one way or the other. There will be something late in this game, but I don't know why the NFL don't use a flex schedule with the Thursday night game, my friend.
This is Jimmy, go out to see Star Wars tonight, take the wife out to dinner or something, but I don't think there's going to be a big audience for for Denver Indy. Moving on, we got some Saturday football this week.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Bears going. The Bears come off a nice blowout win of the Cincinnati Bengals, going to Detroit.
Yeah, and Detroit is a 6.5-point favorite, total 43.5. As anticipated, when you get to these things where naturally the Bears aren't going anywhere, but they're surely like to knock off the Lions for a game at this particular point in time in the season, take a little bit of money on the Bears, plus the 6.5. We're at 6 and bounce around a little bit at that, but the medium action, but as anticipated, Bears on the straights with the smart guys, but well, plenty of teasers going for us with the Lions -1 or pick 'em.
Yeah, obviously that 6 is a magic number for a lot of teasers. So here we have first place on the line in the AFC West, Chargers and Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas City seemingly got back on track a week ago against the Raiders. And in addition to this game, do you guys put up division odds as well?
No, the divisions are down. We still have the conference up and to win the Super Bowl. But other than the division, we stopped that usually in the third or fourth week. This is a monster game as far as like what I think will happen come Saturday night, being the late game. And also, change of favorites. Kansas City, we opened up a 1-point favorite. We got as high as the Chargers, 1.5. But since that time, we've had a bite back on the Chiefs here. So when you get to that type of game and you know that everybody's playing their heart out there for this situation here. Naturally, we look at teams and say, wow, a month and a half ago, the Chargers looked like they weren't even going to be in contention, and the Chiefs were, 5-1 going into, week 7. A completely different ballgame right now. I think the Chargers and the Saints are really, really lighting it up lately as far as, coming out of the woodwork. The Chargers are just, they're on a mission, my friend. And I can see that we'll probably wind up needing the Chiefs for a medium bet because there will be support for the Chiefs if they can get a point or two. But it's a great Saturday game, and this game will draw a lot, and I mean a lot of attention.
Yeah, Chargers, I believe, 7-2 over their last 9 against the number. Chiefs had lost 4 straight before last week. And should be a great game. An interesting game on Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles, now without Carson Wentz, but still over a touchdown favorite in New York against the lowly Giants. Oh, boy.
Well, naturally, we know we don't have this kid Wentz anymore for the season, but the youngster who came behind him obviously had a very good second half last week. But the Giants have taken a little bit of money. We opened the Eagles an 8.5 road favorite, down to 7.5. Understand it'll be again similar situation here. The Giants aren't going anywhere. They just like to have a win or two against somebody who hurt their chances also. So a little bit of money on the dog and understandable.
What would the line be if it were Carson Wentz healthy?
Carson Wentz was healthy. In this game, you'd be looking at probably 11.5 or 12.
Yeah, well, makes sense, about 4 points. And what would the Giants be if it weren't Eli and it was Geno?
It doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't, kid. When it first came out, when they were going to bench Manning, we took a little bit of money on the favorite there, but nothing significant. The days of, like, really giving Eli or a 3.5 or a 4-point differential, those days are gone, my friend.
I'm glad a Vegas bookmaker agrees with me, Jimmy, because I've been spouting this off to a lot of Giants buddies who I think were very upset with how Eli Manning was benched and not necessarily the fact that he was benched.
Right.
But, the guy's just not very good right now, and I think that was reflected somewhat in the point spread that most books, I think it was half a point or almost no move when he was benched to Geno. So
you're right.
Yeah.
And they brought Eli back so they could lose by 20 at home to the Cowboys.
Exactly.
So when you say you got some buyback, is that all sharps? You've mentioned that they grabbed some 8.5?
Yeah. What you usually get, and this is usually time when you see smarts playing early, they want to grab a hold of a number. In that situation, they just thought the number was too high. But a lot of times, they'll be betting the favorite during the early in the week because they know at the end of the week, if they want to buy it back or go for middle, that the general public bets late on these favorites, which pushes it up even more. So just a lot of checkerboard movement here with the wise guys and the general public during the course of the week.
Yeah, a lot of nimble maneuvering. So speaking of a team with a quarterback change, Green Bay bringing back Aaron Rodgers at Carolina. What line adjustments did you implement here with Rodgers, and what have you seen so far?
We waited until we found out exactly what was going on. It's fairly obvious the kid means a lot. Probably him and Brady mean more than any number change in the NFL right now. Maybe throw a Breeze in here also. But the Packers now, a little intriguing because, if they would have had one more loss, they wouldn't have even played this kid. But now with them in there and still an outside shot, I think you have to play the guy. And we opened Carolina after we found that it was going to be Rodgers at 3-point favorite. There has been money on the Packers. We're still at 3, but there's a lot of 2.5 in the industry right now. We jacked the total up 1.5 or 2 points because might be a little bit of a shootout there. Panthers, what can I say about the Cam? Good week, bad week, good week, bad week. And this game will draw some attention. It's a shame we had to miss 2 days of betting because we didn't know who was going to be the starting quarterback. But I believe we'll still be rooting for Carolina, not for a big bet like it would be if Rodgers hadn't gone down with the injury, but intriguing. And I think there'll be money on the over here also. So 3-47 is where we're at. I believe we'll probably close at 2.5 only because we'll be overwhelmed with the general public all over Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? You just can't blame him sometimes.
And if no Rodgers, what would the line have been?
No Rodgers, 10.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, and you mentioned moving the point spread up. The Packers, I believe, has gone over the 5 of their last 6 games. That defense has had a lot of injuries. And obviously,
right,
Aaron Rodgers can score a little better than Brett Hundley. Moving on, I'm a Vikings fan, Jimmy, so it's always referred to as my Vikings on the podcast. But my Vikings hosting Cincinnati, who looked like they quit last week against the Bears.
No, if they didn't, they should have. You know, what can I tell you? You talk about something. It's just hard to explain. I mean, I don't know what to do with the Cincinnati team, although usually put it this way, 70% of the time we're rooting against them. My friend, you got the Vikings 11-point favorite and simply no action on the game. That's all I can tell you.
So a ho-hum game, which gets buried sometimes in those Sunday, especially 1 o'clocks. And then we have, what a sight it was last week in Buffalo against Indy. Awesome Snow Bowl there, and Buffalo now hosting Miami.
I enjoyed it. I watched last week's game, and that brought back memories for me as a kid because there were no indoor stadiums, and I could still see the Vikings home field and the Steelers, you know, playing in 10-degree below zero weather. But that was then. This is now. And the way to lose that one was a tough one also. But, you know, there's really not much more you can say about it. The Dolphins, what a monster win that they had. But can they keep it up? I don't know. We'll just book that one. Whatever the way the wind blows with the money, that's what we'll go with.
So you got like 3.5 or 4 here?
Yeah, it's going to be that. This kid's going to play, so that's what you're looking at. And the Dolphins, usually after a monumental win, go south for the winner.
Yeah, I believe Tyrod Taylor is starting for the Bills. I want to ask you, Jimmy, I think I'd asked Jeff Sherman on Sunday what he had the second half line, the total, for that Bills game, and he had it at 13.5. I'm wondering if you can ever remember a game that had a lower second half total than that, which was amazing.
And, Jeff knows what he's doing. Make no mistake about it. But that means if he knows what he's doing, we know what we're doing. We opened up 13.5 also with the second half. And it was,
and it landed 13. So,
yeah. And it did land 13. But no, I can't remember. Maybe the lowest I can remember is maybe a 15 over, something like that, but never seen a 13.5. And trust me, nobody ran up to the window to bet the over.
I'm sure they
How could
they
you, right?
I actually got one person on Twitter, your favorite medium now, who said, oh, yeah, over easy. They're only going for touchdowns. I was kind of thinking, they also have to kick the extra point and do a bunch of other things. But anyway.
I will say this, just because I was texting Mitch Moss, who works for VSiN, hosts a show in your sports book there, Jimmy.
Right.
Is just NFL, not college. I think it's like something ridiculous, like 10 straight. If a game is 0-0 at half, not 3-0, not 7-0 like this game, but this was close to 0-0, so we were texting. Like the second half goes over like every time.
If
there's like a it's remarkable. But usually it's not a blizzard. But I think there was one about 7 years ago, a similar blizzard that went over in the second half that was 0-0. But usually it's like a Jags Colt 0-0 or something like that. And then you'll have like a 20.5, and they'll score like 24 or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. And naturally, this was a little different situation. As I knew that it was bad weather. I had some friends from that part of the country, but I did not think it was this type of weather. And the other thing that is really amazing in a spot like this, it never let up. I mean,
the whole game.
Yeah, you'll see the rainstorm coming in there. They'll see them go to the locker because of the lightning. You'll see the snow, then it stops in the second quarter. But it got worse during the entire game. I'll tell you who gets the Emmy Award for the weekend is all those crazy people who stayed there for the entire game. They're stronger than I am.
No, it was impressive. Speaking of impressive, the Jacksonville Jaguars off a big win against the Seattle Seahawks. They are hosting the Houston Texans, who I believe will have T.J. Yates with Tom Savage, thankfully now in the concussion protocol after whatever he was in during that game. Obviously should not have gone back in that game after suffering a hit.
Yeah, Jacksonville, 11.5-point favorite. A little bite on the Houston Texans there. I don't really understand except that maybe Jacksonville, they should get the lead going into the fourth quarter. They may just try to run the football game. It's a low total with 39, so anytime you're dealing with a double-digit favorite and the total's only 39, it's hard to lay the minus 11.5 only because, you're looking maybe at a 2017 final here. So I don't know what to do with the game. The general public will have a little bit of parlay action on Jacksonville, a little bit of teaser action. Smarts might buy back Houston a little bit, but a game that's not going to make or break our day for us, I can tell you that.
A game that's flirting with the highest point spread of the year, I believe it's 16.5 a few weeks ago with New England at home against Miami. This one's in that neighborhood, New Orleans against the Jets. And is it Bryce Petty going for New York?
I believe so.
I don't know what to tell you, kid, but I can tell you this. 15, that may be shy of what's going to happen here. The Saints, naturally, it's a big number. But when you get a team like the Saints with Breeze, it seems like they never, ever stop trying to score. I mean, some outfits do, but this kid, the ball will be in the air if they're winning 27-0 or 27-27. So here we go again. Nobody's run up and said, Jimmy, what a number you made there. Give me the plus 15 with the Jets. That hasn't happened, our friend.
So what do you got a ticket count already lopsided?
Yeah, well, when you say lopsided, at this particular point in time, when you say lopsided on a Thursday morning, it's about a 3-2 count, which is relatively big, but nothing crazy. We would have had a huge ticket count on the Packers with all small tickets, but since we missed 2 days, we're still about 3-2 on the Packer game also.
So Alvin Kamara back for the Saints. He got that concussion last week. Do you think that gets up to like 17, Jimmy? Where do you think the Sharps are going to come in and say 17.5, 17?
17 is an automatic buyback by the wise guys. Yeah. Absolutely automatic buyback.
That's braver than I am to get involved in that game.
Another game that probably only the diehards and gamblers will be watching, Arizona Cardinals traveling to Washington to face the Redskins.
Wow. Two teams are going south, too, especially Arizona. There was a lot of high hopes this year. We took a lot of money on the over 7.5 wins. We took a lot of money for the division. We took a lot of money for them to win the conference. But as you can see, Carson Palmer's days are numbered also. It's a shame Larry Fitzgerald got to go out this way. Redskins, what can I say also? A lot of people, including me, thought it would have been a much better year at this particular time. But it is what it is. You got the Washington Redskins, a 4-point favorite. And my two friends, that's exactly what the number should be.
Final 1 o'clock Eastern slate, and we go to the aforementioned Cleveland division game, the old moving in the middle of the night thing, Baltimore at Cleveland. Ravens somehow lost that game Sunday night, but they're still in the playoff discussion.
Yeah, I think every time we give a Cleveland Brown ticket to somebody, we should give them a Kleenex, too, to wipe their eyes in about 3 hours.
At least a drink ticket or two to watch the game.
Well, no, they don't. No, we usually give 2 drink tickets out for people make a bet. We give 4 if you bet the Brown.
There you go.
You know, what can I say? The Ravens are a 7-point favorite, and there will be money on the Browns. There definitely will be money on the Browns. Now, the teaser and the parlay action will all come to the general public, and they'll be somber the whole 3.5 quarters, and they'll probably collect their money with about 3 minutes to go in the game. But seven is the number that it should be. Cleveland will draw some attention, especially if it goes up a notch.
Well, their receivers now look a little bit more competent, right? They got Gordon here and so Coleman, yeah. So maybe.
My friend, I don't know if Jim Brown can help. I really don't know. Where do you go with this team? Everything they do is the wrong move.
It is tough. It is very tough to follow them and to bet on them, especially. Next game, 4:05, one of the premier games of the day. The Los Angeles Rams going to Seattle, NFC West on the line.
Super game. Seattle opened up a 1-point favorite. Got as high as 2.5 real quick, but there's been some buyback on the Rams. This one will be tit for tat. If you adjust anything, especially in the money line, either way here, you can dictate if you want to take a bet on either side to release some of the liability, because there are plenty of people who have been siding with both of these teams the entire year. This, to me, I call this a bookmaker's delight. You know, we can just bounce this around. We will take a lot of money on both sides of this game.
How I want to ask you, Jimmy, how public a team have the Rams been? I feel like, you know, you have two teams in L.A., and the Rams maybe, I guess, are more interesting than the Chargers. And obviously, they got out to a very hot start. But are they kind of – have they gotten to be that, you know, Eagles, Patriots, Steelers, the general public's betting on them, high-scoring offense, or not quite yet?
One notch below. At the beginning of the year, nobody could care about them. That's with all the moves and whatever. But they surely have won a lot of fans over the last month. And we took it in the liver a couple of times with huge plays on the Rams, and they got there relatively easy. So they're not where you would think the Patriots would be, but naturally they're climbing up pretty good.
Another intriguing game, and maybe even the game of the year, given everything that's going on with both teams. You have Pittsburgh just week after week gutting out wins with Antonio Brown, miraculous catches, and Boswell, impressive kicks. And then New England, the stinker on Monday night, something that's become an annual Christmas tradition. You know it's Christmas when you get this like random egg laid by New England. It's just really inexplicable. Now Gronk's back, and you have a great showdown here at Heinz Field in your old stomping grounds.
Well, naturally, my cousins keep calling me every day. They start drinking today for the Sunday game. I mean, they're insane with this stuff. I mean, I was never like a crazy fan, but they're nuts. But what a game. What a game for the 1:30 game out here. And we opened the game, Patriots 2.5, and naturally took a lot of money early on the Patriots. Basically, for the reason the wise guys know that they'll be able to take a higher number back on the Steelers, and also knowing that, like the Patriots, they lost the game, they can't lose two in a row. And so that's, I think, a lot of reason. But the Steelers offensively have been playing as well as anybody. Here's the highest total of the day. It's 53.5. And so the ball's going to be in the air. I look for a game that will be bought back late on the Steelers, but everything between now and Sunday morning, in all ways, whatever you come at, which way you come at us, will be on the Patriots.
I'm glad you mentioned the total. I've mentioned this a couple weeks ago on the podcast. Our researcher extraordinaire, one of many of them, Mark Simon, let me know that when a total is 53.5, 12 straight times this year, so since week three, we've had 12 straight, or we've had 12 totals of 53.5. Or higher, they have all gone under. So something to keep in mind there. Maybe one team's going to run the ball more. It's tough to bet under with these two teams and those two defenses, really. So, but more importantly, you think the public hasn't really caved on New England given what they last saw?
No, they like them more. They like them more because how can my team lose two games in a row? And I got Gronkowski back, and that'll be one of the things. And, yes, it's a big plus having Gronkowski back, but this is one of the reasons that the smarts jumped in early. And see, the general public guy is not going to care if the point spread is 3 or 33. They're betting on the Patriots before they walk in the building. The number means nothing to the people who just want to bet on the Patriots. And you know what? The Patriots over the years have been real good to the people behind them.
Yeah, and I believe Tom Brady is something like 9-2 or 10-2 straight up against the Steelers over his career.
Yep.
Obviously, that Steelers defense, unfortunately, not the same without Ryan Shazier. Baltimore really, really capitalized on that. I foresee the Patriots running a lot of running backs out at some older linebackers.
The under seems interesting because the Patriots always flip the script, and I can see them just unloading the run all game.
Yeah, yep. It'll be a great one to watch. Next game, I don't know why I'm fascinated by this game, but maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Tennessee going to San Francisco. And I feel like the 49ers were undervalued, Jimmy, with Jimmy G out starting quarterback, and now they are favorites against Tennessee.
Well, they weren't undervalued last week. That was our biggest loser of the day. And it was twofold. It was the 49ers with Lynch. I think he's at least got these young kids playing hard the entire year, even though the record doesn't show. But naturally, with Jimmy coming over there, it surely has made quite a difference. And same thing this week. The Mariota side, they've been playing. Once again, everybody thought this team would be running in there. They're just completely the opposite. Also, 49ers have drawn the attention so far. This game will probably close 49ers 3, and I can see it. This Garoppolo just seems like he's brought everybody up around him. And, again, this is an early call here. When it comes to next year with the season win totals, bet over early with the 49ers because there'll be a lot of people playing over with a full year under the belt and ready to go. So we'll see what happens then.
That's a good call. And by the way, the advance line, the look-ahead line that the Westgate does on Tuesdays for the following week had Tennessee -4 on the road for this game. But then after Tennessee laid an egg in Arizona, San Francisco got the win last week, a move of 6 points in a week. That is certainly an impressive switch.
And you know what, Doug? It's justified.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's hard.
No, they've looked good.
And then Mariota, as likable as he is, he's been bothered with, I believe, an ankle injury.
Yep.
So hasn't really looked he needs that, obviously, more than most because he runs so much. So the Sunday night game, I know it's a Raider town, but it's also a Cowboy town because every town is a Cowboy town. Very intriguing game from a public betting standpoint.
Couldn't agree with you more, my friend. You hit right on the head with this one. Cowboys open 2.5-point favorites. The game is up to 3. The Raiders have been good, bad, and different. We're drawing a lot of Raider fans who come to the book and have the Raiders during the fourth quarter. We've seen a lot of that, and that's with the team coming here. We will see a lot more of it. But here again, they're both fighting crazy to get in the playoffs, and Cowboys 2.5 went to 3. Understandable, but trust me, the Oakland Raider fans will show up here. A good handle on this game, but my friend, I wouldn't know who to bet on. I'd just rather book this one.
Fair point.
Yes, that is. I agree. That seems like a stay away. The final game, Monday night, the Atlanta Falcons still in the playoff race, going to Tampa Bay against those poor Bucs. Not really sure what's happened to them much. They're terrible. The Titans have the winning record. The Bucs seem like they're a worse team than the Titans, but they've been a train wreck. Falcons about a 6.5-point favorite.
I can't add much to what you said. Atlanta, we opened them 6. Some smarts jumped in early because they figured the game's going to go to 7 minimum anyway. And other than some smart guys jumping in early, there hasn't been much action on the game.
That's a great point. That's what we've talked about a lot previously. I shouldn't say a lot previously on the podcast, Jimmy. And I'd like to get your thoughts on it. You've hinted towards it that sharps have bought on a game, but with the intention that you think will buy back. So a lot of this wise guy action is more sports betting than it is just handicapping and sweating out minus 110.
Well, what it is like getting yourself in the position where you have the best sweat, whether you're playing or whether you're booking. Now, in these situations here, let's just say for whatever reason the game goes to 7 or even maybe a little bit higher. Now, as a bettor, if you lay the 6, you got the best of it because you're laying 6 and the game is now floating around 7. Or let's say you bet $1,000 and minus a 6. Well, let's say the game goes to 7 or 7.5. Well, a lot of guys will take the 7.5, but they won't take it for the full amount. They'll take it for maybe like half the amount. So they still got to bet at the best number. They still got a chance at the game falling on one of the two numbers where they basically, to some degree, can win both bets. So there's a lot of checkerboards going on here. And the other thing from difference from like 30, 35 years ago is like you see these games run because the general public is in there. There was so little time, like way back when, if a game opened 3, it wasn't going to 4.5 or 5 no matter what happened. But in today's market, because the whole world's involved in it, these people like to jump in early, and they'll be able to handle what they want to do when it gets closer to kickoff. They may just like the bet and keep it. They may get rid of some of it, or in some cases, get rid of all of it and play for 2-point middle. And it's not a bad way to live.
Right, and also, to that point, also they have the luxury of in-game wagering.
Correct.
And if they're, in this case, -6, the in-game wagering line will be based on the original game line of a higher number of 7.5. So that way, that'll kind of skew the number a little bit in their favor if they try to position themselves accordingly.
You're right, Mr. Kazarian. It's a business. That's what it is, my friend.
Yeah, it's a game, but it's very involved, and that's what it takes to try to win money in the NFL.
You got it, kid.
Jimmy, you got a pick against the spread?
I haven't got a clue. I'm on my side of the counter. Where I enjoy right. Like. I come in,
you'll take plus 110.
Chris Andrews does most of the work. I go to the spa, I get the girls to give me something to eat, and I watch a game and give Chris my opinion on a bunch of things, and then we go from there. I'm living a dream right now, pal, believe me.
It's a good life.
And Chris Andrews, who obviously is a contributor to our work and helpful for our coverage. I'm going to do – you want Ben, you got a pick ready?
Go for it.
Okay, I lost my pick last week. I had a 3-game win streak going. I am, as I tweeted out, I think the night of Monday Night Football, I said, I can't wait to pick against Miami. Sure enough, they're going to the cold weather. No blizzard expected in Buffalo this weekend, but give me the Bills with both hands. -3.5 or -4. What do you got, Jimmy?
Whatever you want, kid. You got the best number with me.
I see 3.5 at Westgate. I'll take that.
You got it, Bill.
Yeah.
There you go. A lot of good games this week. There's probably too many that I semi-like, but I'm just going to go very easy. I'm going to take the Chargers. I just think they're a better team right now than Kansas City. In Kansas City is tough. I also kind of like the Rams, but again,
so you
it's hard to go against
by the narrative of Kansas City getting back on track last weekend?
No, I think I just don't think their defense is very good, and the Chargers' offense has been phenomenal against just about everyone the past, I don't know, 8 weeks. Marcus Peters coming back for Kansas City is big, but you know, they basically have to win the game.
What version of himself will he be? Will he be calmer? He sat in the corner for a game.
Look, there's a reason Marcus Peters fell in the draft, and it's not because of his talent.
Okay.
I will say that.
So, Jimmy, are we going 2-0 there, you think?
Did we what, Doug?
Are we going to go 2-0 there with the Chargers and then the Bills?
I don't like you two playing with me, kid. You're not on my percentage.
We're sharp.
He's being nice.
I know. Jimmy, look, it's always great connecting. You've been so helpful over the years as a friend and also for the coverage as well. Wish you the best, and you're always entertaining us here.
All right, buddy. And one other thing, Chris Andrews is our racing sports director. Another Pittsburgh guy, Doug. Don't forget that.
There's a lot of you guys out there.
Believe me, there are a lot. So, you guys take care. Everybody out there, if you need anything, call Doug. See you later, guys.
Take care,
Thanks,
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
All right, that does it for this pod. One guest, but one awesome guest. And Jimmy is Jimmy. There's just no other way to put it.
Yeah, John's going to have a tough act. to follow now.
We'll get him back.
Wally pimped.
He might. By the way, I did some interviews on SportsCenter a year or two ago. I can't remember, maybe 2 years ago. We were trying to add more SportsCenter or some more of this content into SportsCenter. And we were doing Scooch a little bit, and then we like mixed it up. We got Cornegay from Westgate, and then we got Jimmy Vaccaro on. And, you know, I brought up the names and the meetings, and we got him on, and the coordinating producer got in my ear, and it says, Jimmy Vaccaro looks exactly like I thought Jimmy Vaccaro would look like.
He's got the sweatsuit.
He's just the man. That yep. He put on a blazer. And Jimmy is, you know, all these celebrities, and he has to interact with them. He's just extremely likable, for those who couldn't tell from the conversation we just had. But he is just one of a kind. As I said, he's inimitable, and he is just a legend. And what Vegas needs, what has needed forever, and he's just awesome.
Yeah. No, it was a great chat, and I'm sure we'll have him on back as we go on this season in the off season.
And by the way, we've been craving an undefeated week, so maybe we can fudge the numbers and go undefeated 2-0.
There we go.
We've been craving that.
We'll pull a Berman.
Yeah. We might have to. All right, Ben, that does it for us. So go check out all that stuff on Chalk. Again, the Warriors piece posting tomorrow and all the bowl betting stuff. It's an exciting time of year. We got Saturday games, two Saturday games, bunch of stuff going on. So go check it out, and, of course, download our podcast as many times as you can, if that makes any sense. For Ben Fox, I'm Doug Kazarian. We'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts. We'll